lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and Redeemer. There has been a lot of solemnity, and that has been right and proper, but let us begin by giving Rosemary another round of applause. Bishop Caraway Dorgu, the Bishop of Woolwich, has asked me to send his love to you all and his assurance of his prayers. He is with us in spirit. I ask you to pray for him as he continues his journey of facing serious health issues. We pray for his recovery. And there are, after the service, refreshments, although I think it's going to be a little bit like the feeding of the 5,000, so we will do our best. Dear friends, this is a day of great joy and new beginnings. Rosemary, as from this very hour, now the Venerable Dr. Rosemary Mallet, has been duly collated and installed. Her long, faithful, and inspirational service to God and his people in this diocese has begun a new and exciting chapter, just at a time when Croydon itself is going through change and renewal. This will be an occasion for rejoicing at any season of the year, as any Sunday, the day of our Lord's resurrection, is, even in the course of our journey through Lent, always is a day of celebration and thanksgiving. But in these unsettled and concerning times through which we are now living, it is doubly good to be able to come together to witness to God's eternal bringing forth of that which is new, good, and life-giving. We do not minimize the seriousness of the coronavirus threat to public health, but neither do we take fright. In a spirit of sensible caution and knowing there was no business that could not be safely postponed, I cancelled yesterday's diocesan synod. I can hear murmurs of pleasure at that. Synods and meetings and committees are important, and we honour and uphold our processes for dispatching our business. But the heart of the church is prayer, which can be offered privately or in any number of different settings, as well as public worship. That must always be our first priority, which together nourishes us as we take God's love out into the wider community. That is the essential dynamic and cycle which we are being reminded of in the current situation. My friends, although we are cautious and sensible, let us not be afraid, and let us be glad that we gather today to pray, to sing, to reflect, to rejoice. This act of thanksgiving and commissioning has been long awaited. It is a very good moment in the life of the diocese. And it is, as I say, a moment of new beginning, reminding us that hope is stronger than fear, life outlasts death, and the light is brighter than the darkness is dark. On this day, in this time of national and indeed global anxiety, now is a time when it is imperative and our duty to rejoice in new beginnings. Not only that, but we gather on a day in which the grace of the lectionary is particularly abundant. Those who are not familiar with this may have casually assumed that our readings were chosen by Rosemary or by the preacher to suit the needs of this particular celebration at this particular time. Not so. Under Providence, they are simply and wonderfully the readings set for evening prayer on the third Sunday of Lent. But I do not invoke Providence lightly. Time and again, the lectionary serves us what we need to hear, And what splendid readings for this celebration and for this hour. From the book of Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." We hear these words coming down the centuries to us, full of the power of God's faithful love, proving again and again in suffering and in joy, and we know that we can trust them. Be strong and courageous in the strength and power of God. We are not ourselves strong or skillful or swift or wise, but in the strength and power of God we stand, and in the strength and power of God we are courageous. This is so for all of us at all times, and these truths do not change. It is simply for us to rest on them, to open ourselves up to them, to proclaim them afresh, and to live them day by day. Be strong and courageous. They are also words, Rosemary, for an archdeacon to live by. Archidiaconal ministry is immensely valuable. It is life-giving and joyous in many aspects, but it can be challenging. Archdeacons do not always, all the time, see humanity at its best. They are not infrequently called to the small number of situations in the church where things are going wrong and where there is ill will. They need to combine the gentleness and prayerful insight that we hope for in any priest with a certain steel, almost, but not quite, a worldliness, certainly a worldly wiseness. They need to be purposeful and resilient. Rosemary, be strong and courageous. It is to this that Rosemary has been called, and for which she has been formed, first by a distinguished academic career as a senior researcher, honorary lecturer, and in the area of BAME mental health. Then, after ordination in 2004 as a curate at Christ Church, Brixton Road, and now for 13 years as parish priest of St. John's Angel Town, she has been a faithful and devoted parish priest and taken on many demanding roles in the wider church, serving the General Synod and also chairing our own House of Clergy here in Southwark. And she has held these offices for the last 5 years, together with the vital pioneer role of Director of the Department for Justice, Peace and the Integrity of Creation, being the focal point across the diocese for the third, fourth and fifth marks of mission. It is sometimes thought that there are two identical twin sisters, Marlene Mallet, her first baptismal name, and Rosemary Mallet. Only thus can her level of engagement be explained, particularly when one takes into account that she is also the devoted mother of Jane. I know for certain there is only one Rosemary Mallet. She is, like us all, uniquely created in God's love, and not to be confused with anyone else. Someone who is strong and very courageous, especially on justice issues, a very fine role model for the BAME community, and indeed for us all in this global diocese, with our remarkable diversity, which I see to be God's gift and blessing to us. And now Rosemary is crossing the Jordan, though this must be understood as a parable, not an analogy, for heaven forfend, I should call the Kingston Episcopal area a desert. Rosemary is crossing the Jordan into the new and very promising land of Croydon. Croydon is a place that needs to be thought of carefully. It is a London borough. Anywhere else in Britain, it would be a major city. About as many trains an hour pass through East Croydon as stop at Birmingham New Street. More people live in Croydon than in Coventry, and things are stirring. Marx might have had Croydon in mind when he wrote, "All fixed, fast frozen relations with their train of ancient and venerable prejudices and opinions are swept away. All new formed ones become antiquated before they can ossify. All that is solid melts into air. All that is holy is profaned." 5 years from now, or possibly 10 at the current rate of delay, scarcely a stone will stand where it stood before, between Croydon Minster and St. Michael with All Angels. If hopes are fulfilled, and again that needs some resolve, some reactivating of plans, a new Westfield Centre will eventually be conjured out of the ground with its IMAX cinema. And of course there is a risk that none of this will happen. Hundreds of new flats will have sprouted with their balconies and basement gyms. There will be a technology quarter. I doubt not there will still be very significant pockets of poverty. For in South London and East Surrey, we also live with great inequality of opportunity and material provision, which is a scandal to an affluent nation and metropolis as that in which we reside. And what is more, whenever the regeneration happens and the cranes are taken away, when the dust settles, the church will still be there, as we have always been, an enduring sign of the presence of God's love in our midst. The beating heart of our communities, and in Croydon developing its own vision for renewal and growth. So all in all, a very challenging time, Rosemary, to be Archdeacon of Croydon. There is a need for someone who can forge alliances between church and wider civil society. It's very good to have such a good representation from the civic community here with us today. We are honoured and blessed by your presence. Someone indeed is needed who can help the church engage and be fully immersed in all that is happening without ever ceasing to be church. Someone who can guard the ancient continuity that speaks of the eternal loving God and yet be agile and alert to what is happening now, this year, this week, and in the weeks and years to come. That is what Rosemary has been preparing for, and this, by God's grace alone, is the ministry which she is now beginning, working with Bishop Jonathan of Croydon and Archdeacon Moira Aston. Rosemary will discharge this ministry as part of a team of 6 archdeacons, all present today, a very fine, mutually supportive team. We are very blessed in the diocese by our archdeacons, each with different skills and expertise, united in common purpose. The archdeacons work closely with me in respect of their diocesan responsibilities as part of my staff team, closely with the diocesan secretary, as well as other diocesan officers in Trinity House and in the area offices, and are part of the trios of area bishop and 2 archdeacons, which provide hands-on engagement with our parishes in each of the 3 episcopal areas of the diocese. Rosemary is already well known to this team as a long-standing member of my staff team. All this is armor, like the armor of God, which Rosemary is now putting on, the armor of good colleagues, collaborative working, sound processes and structures, unity of purpose. And around it all is a rich fabric of good and trusting relationships with parish clergy and officers, which it will be her first care to maintain and develop. Archdeacons are tried and tested and trusted in the many tasks that fall to them, and that is all to the glory of God and is about serving the greater good. Thus, in these uncertain and less stable times, we rejoice in the solidity of God's ever-renewing goodness. Above all, we remember that the crossing of the Jordan is a sign and image of the resurrection, that newest and greatest of all new beginnings. As we go on our pilgrimage through Lent, as we walk together with those among whom we serve, we are, each of us, part of that great journey into Holy Week and Easter. This year particularly, I suspect we will be all in different ways standing at the foot of the cross. We are walking together on the Emmaus Road, our hearts on fire, loving God, walking with Jesus, led by the Spirit. So, my friends, be strong and very courageous. Amen. And just in case we revert into too much solemnity, let's give Rosemary one final round of applause. Thank you.